The shiur is being sponsored by Eric Steinberg, Le'ilu Nishmas, Aliyah Daphna Bas Yosef, Aleha Shalom, and by David Adelson, Le'ilu Nishmas, his father, Rav Shlomo Yehuda Aryeh, Ben Rav Binyamin David, Ola Shalom, Shalom Simcha Nachis. There's a levaya this morning that I just found out about from the shul and the Chamaluan's sister. This is the fifth and final chalek of the halachas on Simon Kuf Tzadikei in Yerideya, the halachas of Harchakis, which began during the Shavuot and then for Purim and Pesach, the interruptions. We're going to finish now. And then Mitzvah Shem, we're going to continue with different topics. Thinking of doing the meaning of Basar B'Challav, meaning milk after meat, and all the different shittas and halachas and so on. We'll do different inyanim, but I wanted to finish this siman that we were learning through the winter. We're up to the Ramah in Seif Hei. The Ramah in Seif Hei, it's a difficult halacha because it's hard to know exactly what the gether is of the Isra of Tiyul. There's an Isra of Tiyul when a wife is forbidden. There's a din that they're not supposed to go on a Tiyul together. They're not supposed to go on a trip, on a Tiyul. The question is, how do we define the Tiyul? We understand that the rationale of that is that a trip together engenders a certain sense of closeness and chibuv and affection and so on. But there are different types of tiyulin. For instance, the poskim talk about. We'll get more specific in a moment. The poskim talk about having to go to relatives. Now that could be something that will drive them further apart. I mean, that's mechaber, the chibuv. You know, we're going so excited to go see your parents. That's there are a few things like that maybe in the world, but that's not the usual way things work. So how do we define this tiyul? The Ramah says an interesting thing. The Ramah says kigon leganos upardesim, like going to fashpatsir in a gardens, orchards. That's the lashon that the Ramah uses. So it sounds like he's referring to a tiyul that is, I guess, of some romantic nature, that it has that intimate sense of intimacy. Now, in this halacha, the Aruch HaShulchan drops a bomb. Mamash a bomb. The Aruch HaShulchan in Seif Chaf, in Simekuf Tzadikei Seif Chaf, the Aruch HaShulchan says, V'afilu leilech letilu biyachad, ein anoch mitam zeh, afilu leilech. Now, I'll explain why this is a bomb. He says, this Isra of the Ramah, of a tiyul, means that they can't go for a walk together, like a Shabbos walk. They can't walk someplace together, the husband and wife, during the time of Nida. The Aruch HaShulchan understands that every type of a stroll together brings about a certain kiruv das, kiruv hadas, a certain sense of intimacy and closeness, and therefore, according to Aruch HaShulchan, there's no difference how this tiyul takes place, whether they're walking together, or they're in a car together, or a boat. Or he is machmir with any type of a tiyul. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuvas near Dea Chelik Beis Simon Pei Gimel, Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with this lahalacha. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that aval tiyul biragleihem, as far as walking someplace together, taking a stroll, a regular stroll, Rav Moshe says, "I will betil beraglayim leka shum iser de'ain malachish leka shum iser de'ain malachish." There's no iser in taking a walk together. He holds that this din of the Ramah is a continuation. It's connected to the iser that we were learning about last time, the iser of traveling, sitting on a bench together, where as a result of the shaking of the movement of the vehicle, of the wagon, or in modern times of a car, whatever, but as a result of that, they're sitting on the same seat, that movement, that the vibration of the seat, that is the makar of this iser, and that the din of tiyul is a continuation of that, and it's referring to going for a drive in such a way. In Pardesim, orchards, and so on. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Ozner Zalgazon Zayin, Rav Ozner writes in his Shiurim, we have in his Shiurim in Hilchas Nida, that he also does not agree with Aruch HaShulchan. He does not agree with Aruch HaShulchan. And he writes, Umistar b'lahachma b'zekish aholchim b'horim l'tiyul. He does understand that if they're going for the purpose of Kiruv Hadas, to get away from everybody and everything, and they go strolling like by mountains or someplace where there's no people. So Rav Ozner says that Mistar b'lahachm is that kishaholchim baharim l'tiyul sheyesh gam kein Kiruv Hadas, or b'frak kishahin levadam bli od anoshim. They go someplace where there are no people. He understands that's what the Rama is talking about. Ach b'tiyul ba'alma, but to go for a Shabbos walk? To go in the neighborhood and people in the streets, or to go someplace where there are people. So he says, Shari lahaloch. There's nothing to be worried about. Tiul ba'am, there's nothing to be worried about. So the poskim are divided. Rav Yosef Zichron Levracha is machmir like the Aruch HaShulchan. He is machmir like the Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Bransdorfer in Knei Boisem says that if you look through the poskim, we don't find anywhere before the Aruch HaShulchan a mention of tiul beregel, of taking a walk together. He says this is not found anywhere in the poskim, and he agrees that the halacha is a continuation of the din of going for a ride together where they're sharing a seat. But it's not a matter of walking together. What about the fact the mitzvah is that taking a stroll, walking together, is a show of affection, or there is some kiruv hadas? He says we don't make new gzeris, we don't make new dinim, that Chazal never spoke about such a thing. And Chazal never goes there. A husband and wife shouldn't be able to walk together. Chazal never made such a gzeira, that a husband and wife shouldn't be able to walk together. And this is brought down, this kula is brought down in the Badei Shulchan, that the Chochmas Adam was also making, and the Chochmas Adam learned this din in Shulchan Aruch, like Rav Moshe, that's a halacha in traveling and sitting on a chair together, but there's no iser. There's no iser of walking together. However, Rav Moshe and the Knei Bosam never wrote. I didn't see anything in the Knei Bosam or Nigras Moshe that even when it comes to going to Ganos or Pardesim, to orchards or to gardens, or to go to the mountains, that they were machmir. In other words, even though it's obvious that they're trying to get away and they're walking someplace by themselves, and there is some kiruv hadas and chiba, affection, by going to such a place, but Rav Moshe doesn't say anything that is not machmir. He learns that that's not the din. The din's talking about traveling together and on the same seat. It's not talking about walking. So according to these poskim, walking together wherever they like. There's no gzeira, there's no issa like that, and they can take a walk together. Aleph, Beis. Even those who are machmir, when we're talking about a trip that is letzorach, in other words, the trip is not the end or the goal or the purpose itself, it's only means to get to the end. Which means, for instance, if it's an inyan of parnasa, that the husband and wife travel together for some business trip. Or, as I said before, to visit relatives. This, according to halacha, is not called a tiul. It's not called a tiul. It's not called a spazier. It's not called a trip or a stroll together. They have to go somewhere. It's not the same thing. And that's mutter. The definition of tiul is that they want to spend time with each other, and they're going someplace for the purpose of being able to travel for the trip itself. That's called a tiul. Not because they have to get someplace. Therefore, when it comes also to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim, so they're traveling to Europe or Lahavdol, they're traveling to Eretz Yisrael, whatever, they're going to do mitzvahs there in Kivrei Tzaddikim, to visit the Mekarmes HaKadoshim, to visit Chevron or whatever it is. So the poskim are mekel that a nesiyah l'dvar mitzvah, even though it's nice that they spend time together and they're in a car and they're going and they're walking and so on, and they're going to different places. Nevertheless, in halacha, that's not defined as a tiyul. The definition of tiyul, as is explained in the poskim, is very narrow. It means mamish l'shem, being together, not because they have to go do a mitzvah or for business or to visit somebody, or when it comes, let's say, for health purposes, that they have to, the Badei Shulchan writes about this, that they're going somewhere to a spa or to the mountains, or they're going somewhere because of health reasons. That also, even though there is, the Badei Shulchan says, k'tsas inyan tiyul, there's a little bit, they're going to a nice place, one of them is not feeling well or something, and they're going someplace to help. Nevertheless, that's still called litzarchav, that there's some external need for them to go somewhere. It's not that they're going l'shem, being together, to go in a tiyul. So that's generally how we look at this halacha. Yeah.
Sure. Put in that category too, if the wife's having a hard day with the kids, I need to get out and get your ideas and thoughts and some stuff to clear the mind. If you should have asked.
To go someplace to talk to, it's a little bit easier with us, and we're getting to psychological well-being. Yeah, I don't know. That could be. That's a good question. That could be. That's exactly what the issue is. In other words, it could be that there's kira v'das and chiba in that. I don't know. That's a good question. Although perhaps it is possible to say that it's not that it's for kira v'das and chiba. It's just that it's like it's not feeling well. It's too much tension and pressure. They just to go away a little bit. Yeah, for sure, to discuss certain issues and things that have to be taken care of, to be someplace where it's quiet, that's not called a tiyul. But if it's just like we need to get away together for a couple of days because there's too much stress, I think that's what the, I think that could be what the halacha is talking about. Maybe that's a tiyul for the purpose.
Like vacation. So
a vacation.
I mean, Hawaii.
Yeah. So that's the definition of a vacation. Yeah. True.
What if the walk itself is for health purposes?
Also, if they're going, okay, good. If they're going walking, couples go walking because they're for health, that they like to walk. So that's fine. That's not considered to be a tiyul. That's considered exercise, and that's okay. Now, the next din in Shulchan Aruch is a little bit of an uncomfortable subject, but we're learning halacha, Torah, l'madana tzrichim, that's what we're doing. We're learning Torah, even though it's a little bit uncomfortable, but it's Hilchos Nida. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's also l'estakav b'mekoymes ha'mechusim shel ishtai. That during the time that the wife is Nida, it's forbidden to look at the places of her body that she normally covers. That she's dressed are normally covered. So it's mutter, it's permitted to look at the mekoymes ha'gluyim. We have no inyan bechlal in Yiddishkeit, like this mishagoyim that they're starting to already. They're starting to become more frum than Moshe Rabbeinu and Chasam Sofer, and they're wearing burkas la alayna. This, you know what's going on there, Shem Yirachem. You already could see this in Yerushalayim and some other places. But they're walking around, and there's this whole group of Jews that now that this whole controversy over these Jews in Canada. They also started to dress, covering their face, and dress like Yishmael. So we have no Indian like that. There's no Indian bechlal or tznius like that. So the question becomes a little bit complicated. How do we define mekaymes mechusim, mekaymes gluyim? What's normally covered? What does it mean normally covered? Does it mean normally covered in the house? Does it mean normally covered when she's on the train, at work, on the street? What does that mean, normally covered and normally not covered? So, because when it comes to those places, let's say the mekaymes hagluyim, the wife's face. So, the husband loves his wife, and he has hana looking at how beautiful his wife is. There's no isser to look at his wife's face, even though he has hana to look at his wife's face. No isser. We're talking about where there's something beyond that hana of the face, and since the whole rationale of this isser, which is brought down in the Levush and other Rishonim, is that the hestaklus brings to hirurei aveira, that the husband has a taiva for his wife if he sees the places on her body that are normally covered. And that's the reason for this din, and it's a very serious din because the Taz even brings the Gemara that says that in a situation where the husband is in the habit of looking at his wife when she's neither in places where he shouldn't look, that affects the spiritual well-being of the children and the family. It's a dangerous thing. So how do we define this? So Aleph. The Ramah, even when it comes to the Mekaymus HaMachusim, even when it comes to the places on the body that are normally covered, the arms, let's say, to the legs, even when it comes to those places that are normally covered, so the Ramah only forbids histaklus. Histaklus means gazing upon, looking at. But if it's Riyah Ba'alma, the poskim explained that if she's passing by or whatever, Riyah Ba'alma to notice, that's not the Isser, it's histaklus. The Shach writes that the reason that Riyah Ba'alma is permitted, whereas with another woman, of course, that's not allowed at all. But with one's wife, Riyah Ba'alma is permitted because, sof kol sof, in a few days, she's muterislo, she's permitted to him, and therefore that doesn't bring him to a michshol, that won't bring him to do, God forbid, an aveira, something should go wrong, if it's a riyah ba'alma for a second. The isser is an isser of histaklus. However, the Shach does say, in yodah b'nafshol, that if this particular man has a big yetzahara, and he knows that by even seeing his wife for a second, that her arms, she's going to put something on, and the arms are uncovered, the leg, whatever, that if he knows within himself that he has that's hard for him, that's yetzahara, then of course the Shach says that yesh lo lenomizah, that there shouldn't be a riyah ba'alma at all, it depends on each person. But the din is an issur of histaklus, of looking at, not passing by, not for a second, it's a din of histaklus. And therefore we find that there's a fascinating machlokas aposkim regarding this halacha when it comes to the wife walking around in the house without stockings, without proper covering of the leg, or without her hair being properly covered. I understand that this is not, this shiur is not taking place, on 16th Avenue, on Lee Avenue. And there are many families, unfortunately, I mean, that's the truth, there are many families, unfortunately, in this neighborhood where the women don't cover their b'chlal in the house. Or they don't cover their stump, they don't cover their legs, they don't wear stockings or whatever, tights, whatever is required up yaloch. I'm not, and there's no judgment that's being made, that's between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a matter of just learning the Shulchan Aruch, learning Halach, and understanding what Hashem Yisbarach wants. And after you know all of that, if your wife is willing to do things the right way. But here we're talking of a smedrash of Jews who have Yesh Shemayim and are trying to do things the right way. The reason that the discussion is so interesting regarding these particular areas about the leg from the knee down, let's say, and the hair, is that there are many fine from women who do cover their hair when they go on the street. They cover their hair, and they would never go on the street with their legs, with the bottom part of their legs. Of course, I'm not talking about the top part of the legs uncovered. That's a preacher something. But with the bottom part of their legs uncovered, there are many fine from women who on the street would never ever uncover their hair, and they would never uncover their legs. But in the homes, they're comfortable and they walk around with the hair uncovered in the house. This is not something that America discovered. This was in Europe also plenty. Certainly in Russia and Lithuania, not by the Chassidim, but in Russia and Lithuania, by many fine Jews, that in the home that they were not strict according to the view of the Zohar, which the Mishnah brings down in the Chassam Sefer. They didn't cover the hair in the house, but they covered the hair outside. And they didn't cover the bottom of their legs in the house, but they always dressed properly. So now the question is, so how do we define these parts of the body? Are they called mekomas mechusim or mekomas gluyim? If mechusim means what halacha requires, the absolute requirement of halacha, so then perhaps that's called, the hair is always called a makom mechusa, a place that's covered. But if it has to do with the conventional behavior of how that particular family conducts itself, then maybe there's reason to be more makel that in the house, if that woman does not normally cover her hair in the house, or let's say she's a woman doesn't cover her hair, God forbid, even outside the house, she doesn't cover her hair. So then to create an iser when her behavior is such, when it comes to Hilchas Nida, to create an iser that would forbid the husband to be able to look at the wife, and she always goes like that. Whether she's a Nida, she's not a Nida, that's how she goes in the house. Or even Chalila, she goes like that on the street. So here we have a famous ruling from Moshe Feinstein. This is another one of Rav Moshe's rulings that did not endear him to the Hasidim, you understand. Even though Rav Moshe was respected and loved by everybody, but this is a cooler from Rav Moshe that's very well known. In the second chelik of Yerodeya Simon Ayin Hay. So Rav Moshe says that if the woman does not cover her hair, then there's no extra chumra when it comes to the time that she's in Nida. There's no extra chumra. That's how she goes. Why she does that, how she does that's not Rav Moshe, that's not the point. The point is that's how she goes. And therefore that place of her hair is called the Makam Golu, it's not called the Makam Mechusa. Rav Moshe writes that she wouldn't, it's a way that she conducts herself when she's alone with her husband and there's nobody else there. How does she cover her hair or she doesn't cover her hair, Misha says. The gam ken regilus lios mlubashes, the loy mistab klaus she akavon la mekremes ha mechusum kshachalchus beshuk befnei inshi acharini she tzvichas alechas betnei yisya. He says the definition of mechusa is not based upon how she goes on the street. When there's a stronger, there's a stricter requirement that sneezes when she's in public. It's based upon how she normally goes in her own house, not how she dresses on the street. After Tov Lahachmir Ba'if and Tov Vishalom. Even Rav Moshe says, Tov Lahachmir. Rav Moshe agrees that it's better to be strict. And it's better that when she's in neither, that she should wear her hair covered in the house, even though she normally doesn't wear her hair covered. And even though she doesn't normally, let's say, wear the bottom of her leg covered when she's in neither, Rav Moshe says Tov Lahachmir. But it's only, he says, is if it's Ba'if and Tov V'Sholem, that if the wife is able to deal with that, and it's V'Sholem, then he says Kibin Yonim Elo HaMachmir Meshubach. And these things, if you're Machmir, it certainly is good. But if it's a problem of Sholem Bayis and the wife is going to be upset and so on. So if Moshe holds that, strictly speaking, it has to do with how she goes in the house. There's a famous ruling of the Aruch HaShulchan as well. Here it's a kula. That the Aruch HaShulchan holds that regarding the din of saying Kriya Shema in the presence of your wife, whose hair is of a wife whose hair is uncovered. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that if that is the way that she normally goes, which is, of course, not allowed. She has to cover her hair. But if she normally does not cover her hair, then the husband is used to seeing his wife with the hair uncovered. So he could say Kriya Shema with her sitting there with the hair uncovered. Because the Aruch HaShulchan says it has to do with the thoughts, the Yetzirah, the Hirhurim, that would be caused by the uncovered hair. But she always has her head uncovered. So there's no extra issue when it comes to Kriya Shema. She's like that. She sits in the house like that, whether it's Purim or whether it's Yom Kippurim. She sits like that. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says, as far as Kriya Shema is concerned, he doesn't have Hirurei Aveir. His wife always sits like that. So it's not like all of a sudden he sits, he's looking at his wife's hair and he says, "My, you have beautiful hair." I mean, she always has her head uncovered. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says there's no chumra that you can't say Kriya Shema in front of he can't say Kriya Shema with the hair uncovered, with the wife's hair uncovered. That similar svarta Rav Moshe says that these are very particular dinim for a particular purpose when it comes to hirurei aveira, and therefore Rav Moshe says that mi'ikra hadin. If the wife in the house normally does not cover the hair, or she covers less of her hair, she only covers a little bit, she doesn't cover the whole hair, all of her hair, or when it comes to the bottom of the leg, she doesn't wear in the house, she's comfortable, she doesn't wear the legs covered completely. So if Moshe is Mekel, and Rav Moshe has big shoulders, and one can rely upon that psak of Rav Moshe without a question. Comes out interesting. Those who are the women who are more careful to always cover their hair in the house, which is what the Chabad Chaim brings down the halacha and so on. those women are more careful and they cover the hair in the house, their hair is considered to be al pi halacha mokem mechusa. That's mokem mechusa. And therefore, during the time that the wife is neither, he's not allowed to look at her if her hair is uncovered in the house. Because that for her, since she always covers her hair, is a mokem mechusa. And the din of the Ramah applies to that situation, and he's not allowed, again, Re'iyah Ba'alma, to notice for a second is not, but it's not a problem, but to look at the wife, if she normally covers her hair, and she's in nida, and her thing fell off, and her hair is uncovered, according to those who are strict in the home that the woman covers the hair, this hair is a makom mechusa, and he's not allowed to look at his wife's hair when she's in nida. Yeah.
Do you make distinctions at times other night, like, when the woman's home stammed during the evening, she doesn't, like she did like big daylight or going to sleep, then...
All right, so I'm going to talk about that right now. As far as big day Lila, what Yitzchak Mordechai is mentioning, so there's a tshuva from the Avne Yoshve. He was actually a big American posek who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was nifter a few years ago. So he was asked a question about the woman who is, during the time that she's in Nida, and she likes to, when she sleeps, she likes to be comfortable. She sleeps in a nightgown or she sleeps with her hair uncovered. That's how she goes. Not because she's not, during the day, she's sanua. She's always sanua in the house and sanua on the street. But when she goes to sleep, she's comfortable. And he was asked that, is this a problem for the husband to sleep in the room? And every time he looks, he turns and she's not entirely covered or whatever, her arms, her hair, and without the proper covering. So he was asked this question. And in the question that was asked of the Avnei Ashrei, the husband said, there was a man that wrote this question to the Avnei Ashrei, and he asked his wife to please be more careful, and he said that his wife's response was, why don't you try to be a stronger person? That's what he said. My wife told me that maybe I should just try not to look. You know, if you have problems, I'm comfortable, like, mind your own business. It bothers you. Which, probably there's more than one woman that has said such things over history. Could be the gender in general has such a, the whole, has a hergish like that, like what's with the men like the, have in Yonim. So that's what her time is. And she's more comfortable. And he should be misgabra, whatever. Yes, so don't look. Be misgabra. Deal with it. So it's interesting. Gavni Ashrei writes that if the husband says that he's not a strong person, and that this is machshel him, that his wife's shoulders and whatever, and it's machshel him. So the Gavni Ashrei says that, again, to speak b'dachin noam and to try, after all of that, he should be mach. He should explain to her that she should cover herself. That she shouldn't go like that. He should be machmir. So even though we understand that the woman has a legitimate taina, most of the poskim that I've seen say that there's in response to this question about the night that there's no distinction that's made, and that really in a proper Jewish home at night also she should be properly covered. The blanket or whatever it is, but she should be properly covered, and she shouldn't be walking around in a nightgown or something like that during the time that one that's not sneezing, during the time that she's in nida. And it's a low plug. They didn't make distinctions that this husband is like that, this wife is like that, but that she should be that she should be covered properly. The discussion that poskim have is more about the hair and the bottom of the legs. As far as, I'm not talking about, God forbid, parts of the body that where there's obvious hiruri aveira, which of course have to be covered. It gets a little bit more complicated when it comes to the shoulders and so on. But the machlokis that Ramosha had with other poskim was more with the hair and the legs. Then we get to the next question of kol isha, about the wife singing. There's a machlokas achronim regarding the question of a wife singing during the time that she's needed, singing in the home. This is brought down the Pades Rimonim, that the Pades Rimonim is Mekel, and he says that a husband is used to hearing his wife sing, and because of that, similar to what we were talking about a minute ago, where a wife's hair is uncovered, And he's used to seeing his wife here all the time. So he's used to hearing his wife sing. And therefore, the Padre Simon felt that that's not something which causes a Yetzirah type. She sings, he hears that all the time. And it's not a problem. And Rav Yoshev, Olav Shalom was Mekel, the Rav of Yushalayim, the Minchas Yitzchak was Mekel, also when it comes to singing, as long as it's obvious, as long as she's not singing for him. I mean, she's singing, she's doing things in the house and she's singing. If she says, listen, I want to, and she sings a song for him, that's of course, there's a Kirat Das, there's Chiba, that she's singing a song for him. But, so they're Machmir. But if Stam, it's time the wife is singing, so Rav Yoshev and the Michas Yitzchak and these poskim held that he doesn't have to go away from the room or to leave the house or anything like that. However, there are poskim who are machmir, Dorach HaShulchan, the Shevet Alev, Rav Ozner, Bar Der Shulchan, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who are machmir in this halacha, and even Rav Yoshev, who's Mekel, said Shema Nafsho. That a person who's very careful and tries to be very careful should try to step out and not to be there. But strictly speaking, al pi halacha, one is allowed to hear the kol, the voice of the wife singing. The aside of this question goes back to the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel. Well, there the Gemara explains that all of the halachas of Achokas when it comes to Anida that we've been learning in Simukub Sadekei, these halachas of hachokas we learn from Eishes Re'ehu. We learn from the hachokas between a man and somebody else's wife. The distance that must be kept from Eishes Re'ehu. And therefore, those who are machmir say that no distinction was made when it comes to listening to the voice of a woman singing. And since you're not allowed to listen to another woman sing, then when your wife is in Nida, since we apply the halachas of an Eishes Ish during the time that your wife is in Nida was strict with hachokas ke'ilu, she's an Eishes Ish. So these poskim say, we don't find in halacha that any distinction was made, and you're not allowed to listen to the kol isha of your own wife, because that's considered to be a din of erva. It's halacha of something, it's forbidden. The same way it's not, you're not allowed to listen to someone else sing, anytime, another woman sing. You're not allowed to listen to your wife sing when she's in neither, because it was strict. Because the din is kol b'isha erva. It's a din of erva. It's a Gemara Brachas. Over there, the Gemara talks about it. Say that I'm not going into the halachas of Kol Isha in general with some of that you don't know, and it's a tape or it's on the radio. Okay, that's in the halachas of Kol Isha. I'm just talking about the wife singing right now. So therefore these poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein and HaShulchan and Rav Ozner, they're machmir, that the wife should not be singing during the time that she's needed, and if the wife is singing, the husband should step out of the room. Those who are mekel say that no, this is different, kolisha is different, that we see that if in halacha, that when it comes to the wife, there's a whole shakal of atari about looking biriya ba'alma at the makomus ha'machusim, you can't do that with an eshes ish. You can't ever look at a woman. Even a Riya Ba'alma not to look at another woman. So these poskim say that we do see that there's a distinction between stam, a woman, and your wife, that they're coolest. Why are they coolest by your own wife? They're coolest because you're used to it, and it's not the same thing because you live together. So the poskim are machmir. They say, look, kol b'isha erva, just like listening to another woman. That's a din of erva. Those, Rav Moshe held you not allowed to listen to your wife sing when she's in either. The poskim are mekel, Rav Yoshev and the Michis Yitzchak and others are mekel, they say, no, it's not so poshut. A distinction has to be made because this inyan of kol b'isha is not really a yetzahara taiva, because there's a heregel that you have living with your wife, and that's the yisod of the iser, is whether there's going to be yetzahara listening. Now, the place where this comes up most is Zemiris on Shabbos. There's an interesting Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Tzav that I saw. The Ben Ish Chai, I just saw it a few weeks ago. The Ben Ish Chai writes the following. He says, Yofa bi'ireinu minhag hanoshim lezamer lahayelad b'kol noyim. There's a nice minhag, he says, here in our city in Baghdad, that the women, they sing, I guess, to the children. They sing for the children songs, lullaby songs, kadesh yishan, that the child should go to sleep. shelo yivke, that the child shouldn't cry. V'tzarech lizor bezehem ishto nida. The Ben Yishchai says, but one must be careful if your wife is nida. Achim hayeled bocha habe v'tzarech lezamer. But the Ben Yishchai says, but if the kid is crying a lot, and the wife must sing. Vein mokim lahabal leilach sham. And there's no place for the husband in the house to go. So he says near the Eish Lahaka. So the Ben Yishchai is makel that he doesn't have to go on the street. I mentioned many times over the years that there's a famous thing from the Chazon Ish where there were girls in Bnei Brak, survivors of the Holocaust, that they were living in an apartment. They had apartments in Bnei Brak. And there was a kanoi that came to the Chazon Ish complaining that these girls are sitting there singing Shabbos mirs, and it's all kol ish, and it's staring this whole Shabbos ni, and these girls singing. So the Chazon Ish says, yeah, Taki, you should go someplace else, walk away. He says, but the girls, he says, don't you dare tell these girls that they shouldn't sing. If you're not happy with it, the Chazon Ish says, then go for a walk someplace. So he said, but the whole lunch? He says, go away, the whole lunch, go away, wherever you like. But you don't tell these girls that they shouldn't be singing, especially after Muhammad, that they shouldn't sing. This guy had a problem with the girls singing. So you see, the things in Bnei Brak started to get hot already at the time of the Chazon Ish. The things were already cooking over there. As far as mirrors are concerned, Shabbos Yontov by the table, for the wife to sing by herself is mirrors, or the poskim machmir. If the husband and wife are by themselves, even there, the poskim who are normally mekel say that they're mekel because she's singing to the children, she's singing in the kitchen, she's singing. But not in such a setup where it's just the husband and wife, and she starts to sing by herself, zmirs. The question is singing zmirs together with other people, with her husband. They sing zmirs together. Not that he sits there and she gives a solo, you know, a Yom Zemachubin or something. But singing together. So that's what the poskim do talk about that. And there's machlokas. The Shevet Alevi is machmir. Rav Yoshev is mekel. Rav Yoshev says that it's mutter. Those who are mekel, and there are many other poskim on each side. I'm just giving the two famous ones from our generation. And there are poskim that are on each side. The Shorish of the Kula is because of the Svara of Trei Kole Lo Mishtame, that when two voices are together, so you don't really hear each voice as a separate entity. Trei Kole Lo Mishtame. There are those who explain Shiras Miriam in such a way, that all the women were singing together. So they were all singing together. How do you explain that the men were, what were the men doing over there if the women are singing together? So if the women are singing together, so it's Gemara Saita, so Trei Kalil or Mishtame, the two voices are, you don't hear anybody separately, it's not clear, and therefore you can be Mekel. The Machmirim say, those who are strict, they say, the Choviv Yahiv Daite, that if there's a woman among those who are singing, because of the Chavivus of that woman, so Yahiv Daita, you're listening for her voice. You pay attention to her voice. So there's a machlokas, the Chassan Sofer writes that regarding Kol Isha, there's a chavivus, there is a special warm feeling to listening to the singing of the wife. And the husband is Yahiv Daita, he likes to hear his wife sing. And we don't apply the principle of Trei Kole, of the voices sort of canceling each other, because when they're all just together, it's like no separate voice. And the Chassan Sofer therefore says that one should be Machmir. However, the Chassan Sofer writes that when they're singing, she could sing quietly. She could sing quietly, not loud, but she could sing quietly. And that's what many of the women have been doing over the years. It's not only a question in Hilchas Nida, it's a question of Kol Isha, if there are guests and there are people in the home. What we're talking about Kol Isha, that's just with the husband and the kids. With the Nida. That's a special thing with the husband. As far as Kol Isha is concerned, when the wife is muteris and there are guests, that's a separate question of Kol Isha. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the din of when she's in Nida vis-a-vis her husband. When she's not in either at any time, she's not in either. If there are people who are visiting, then we have this question also of Trekolo Mishtame, is it Kolisha, and how should she sing? Should she sing? But we're not talking about the halachas of Kolisha right now. And see if you'd. The Shulchan Aruch writes that the Isha is muteres lasais kol malachas labayla, that the woman is allowed to do the regular things for her husband that she takes care of, with the cooking and taking care of the house and so on, chutz mimizigas hakais, except pouring a drink for the husband, that it's forbidden for her to pour a drink lefanov. She could bring drinks, but she could pour a drink lefanov for him, right, in that way. So, without making any kind of a hecker, let's say putting it a little bit further away, and then the husband takes the kais, but pouring it mamish for him. So the Shulchan Aruch brings that that's a special kiruv hadas, and that's also, and a hecker could even be a way to make a distinction. Could be to, instead of with the right hand, to give it the left hand. If she's a lefty, to give it the right hand. That's okay, as long as there's some sort of a hecker, and that it's not the usual way of doing it. The Beis Yosef brings the Rashba. And the Rashba says that the whole Issa of Mezigas HaKais is only with wine. It's interesting, Rashba. He says it's only a din in wine. Because with wine, there's a certain Kiruv Hadas. But the poor other drinks, the Rashba says is mutter. Based upon this Rashba, the Poskim, there are Poskim who the Poskim in general don't use this strictly lahalacha. The Bach and the Shach, I mean, the Tazna Aruch HaShulchan do bring that lahalacha, that it's only with wine. But most poskim, the Bach and the Shach, and most poskim are machmir with all drinks. However, when it comes to water, which is not choshev, when it comes to plain seltzer, which is considered to be not choshev, so there, the poskim are makel. But when it comes to orange juice or apple juice, of course, schnapps or to soda, flavored soda, the most poskim hold like the Shach and the Bach, that mezigas hakos, pouring a drink for the husband right in front of him, is aser. It should be done with a hecker, with a different hand, or it should be put a little bit on the side in a way that doesn't have to be noticeable to other people, and he pulls the cup to him. As far as food is concerned, the din is that the food that's prepared, things that are being prepared in the kitchen, and she brings the food to the table, she brings the food to her husband, that is not a problem, that's permitted. As far as taking, let's say, from the plate, from the serving thing, and putting it mamish in front of him, again, here there needs to be a little bit of a hecker, that should be further away, and then the plate, he puts the plate closer to him. But if the food is prepared, if the plate is prepared in the kitchen, she brings in the plate, so the poskim are makeable of that. And finally, as far as the halacha of making the bed is concerned, arranging the beds, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that there's an issa that the wife should make the bed in the presence of the husband. For obvious reasons, there's an inyan of a taif of yetzar. So the post can make a distinction between actually making the beds with the sheets, the linen on the bed, as opposed to moving the pillows and so on around, that shaloi befanav, when the husband is not in the room, of course it's mutter for her to make the beds when the husband's not in the room. The only issur is when the husband's in the room, even if he knows that she's making the beds, there's no issur. She's making the beds, she takes care of the house, that's not a problem. The only issur is if he's in the room. And even if he stands there in the room and he turns away, he covers his eyes, as long as he's in the room, that's called bifonov. Rabbi Yosef said it doesn't make a difference if he closes his eyes. It's true though, the Badei HaShulchan says that if he turns away and he doesn't look, so and she's making the bed, it's okay. But Rabbi Yosef said that that's called bifonov, and the room is called bifonov. The only issur is bifonov. Not to make the bed, but only bifonov, and it's not referring to the blanket, the covers that go on top of the blankets. It's referring to the linen, the sheets, and the blankets. As far as pillows are concerned, and the bedspread that's put on top, all of that is mutter. As far as the sheets are concerned, the linen is concerned, making the bed, that isser is an isser that's befanav. The question is, what about the husband, if there ever happens such a thing, the husband making the bed for his wife? So that's an interesting question in halacha. The Sheva the Levi in his Shiurim is Mekel. The Sheva Levi is Mekel. He says that that's one of the, that's, well, this happens to be a nice husband, that's very nice, but that's called one of the melochas of the wife. That's a melacha of the wife, and it's one of the melachas, one of the chiyuvim. It's not a melacha sabal. The fact that he does it, so Chazal never made a gzeira. If he does a favor for his wife, he does something in the house for his wife. They never made a gzeira like that, even when it comes to making the beds. However, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chachmas Adam are machmir, that if the wife is in the room, that the husband is not allowed to do that to make the wife's bed if she's in the room. But the mainstream halacha does not follow that, and the issue is only for the wife to make the bed for the husband. Rav Yoshev writes, Rav Yoshev says that this issue of making the bed is only l'shem shchiva, for the purpose of the husband who's going to lie down now, who's going to rest, who's going to sleep now. He bases this upon a Ritva and Ksubas. Therefore, if the wife is doing housework, this is a tremendous kula, listen. If the wife is just doing housework, and it's not night, it's not, no one's going to sleep, he's not going to be lying down, she's just doing housework, she's just making the bed. He's getting ready to go to work, whatever it might be, he's getting ready to go to shul, and she's fixing up the bed. Rav Yosher says that that's not the din, there's no issue at all. The issue is to prepare the bed for him to go to sleep. But stam, housekeeping, that she takes care of the bed and he's in the room, or he happens to be in the room, this is a tremendous kula. So Rav Yosher says that there was never an issue. The issue is for him to go to sleep, not just for the purpose of cleaning up. And the last din in Sif Yud Beis, the other Shulchan Aruch says that the wife is not, it's the issue of bathing, of bringing water for the husband to bathe. Not bathing, but bringing water for the husband to bathe. So here, the pun of Yodav Raglov. See, here the question is, in modern times, where it's not taking water from here and bringing to there. So now we have showers and baths. So is the wife allowed to turn on the water? So for the husband to turn on the shower, to turn on the bath, so that he'll come in a minute or two and the water is warm, whatever. So this is a discussion that's found in the poskim. Lemaise, most poskim are machmir, that is the equivalent of what was in the time of the Gemara, of bringing hot water for Rechitzis Panav Yodav Raglav, and that the wife should not, during the time that she's neither, the wife should not turn on the bath or the shower. That would be considered Yitzikas Mayim, that's considered bringing water for the purpose of Rechitza, and most poskim hold that it's forbidden. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Cohen.
How about the other way, husband bringing to wife for megalos or bringing a...
But again, the poskim ha-mekel, that's considered to be melechas ha-isha, not melechas ha-baal. So even though you could say, what do you mean, there's a big kiruv hadas, he's such a nice guy, he's doing this which men are not normally accustomed to doing, but we don't make no gzeiros. In other words, the poskim ha-mekel say it's based upon the melachas that a wife does for a husband. In other words, the philosophy of it is interesting, that when you do what you're supposed to be doing, there's more kiruv hadas than when you do somebody a favor once a year. It's interesting. When you do what you're supposed to do, that's the kiruv hadas. So there are melachas that a wife does for her husband. That's where the kiruv hadas is. So if you have the mazel to be married to a wife who brings you supper once a year and otherwise just take out, so that could be, that's a big kiruv hadas. You know? A regular what? Okay, it's a beside this, He's not allowed to sing in his house. His wife says if he sings in his house, his wife leaves the house. You should always be singing in the house. Are there any other questions? Yeah, Jeff.
I was asked the same thing on the food side, with the husband put water drink for the wife, and that was
There was no gzeirah that was made for them.
So I thought by going up by Kiddush that you should pour in and take the cup that you pour into, and then the one that you leave, she takes and gives up.
There's a din of Shiraim by the coast, and the poskim are machmir. The poskim are machmir that it shouldn't be befana. In other words, that it should be a little bit. Also, I said it before. There should be a little bit of a hacker also when it comes from the man to the wife. Yeah, that's why they buy kiddush. It's a little bit, you don't have to pour in a second kos. You can just pour it a little bit further away, and she just takes the kos. The post can we're machmir by mizigas
a kos. I thought you pour into a second one and take the second one that you poured into, and that she just takes the one that you made.
You know, you could do that. You don't have to. As long as there's a hacker. So it could be a little bit further away. You pass it to somebody, you pass it to one of the kids, and the kid passes. So it's okay. As long as there's a hacker, it's fine. That's a good question. Yeah, Josh is asking you plan a vacation, and you're on a tiul, lamish or tiul together, and the wife becomes a nida. It wasn't expected. You planned, but she became a nida. So does that mean that you have to lose money, or that you lose money to end the vacation and so on? It's a very good question. I saw this. I don't remember which chuvas I saw this in. That the poskim are makel since there are nusim on that, and they planned it a certain way in the right way. The fact that later on it comes up, they don't have to lose money because of this chumah, and that they can stay on the vacation. The understanding that they have to be careful. Of course, they have to be careful. But the poskim are not machmir that they have to stop and have to go home. The poskim are not machmir. Yeah.
Bike ride is considered the same like a sort of a bike ride.
If it's a bicycle built for two. My mother likes to sing that song. There's an old song, "Bicycle Built for Two." But as far as going, if it's they're going in two separate bicycles, so I guess we would rely upon Rav Moshe that it would be no different than taking a walk together. They're going someplace together on the bicycle. Exercise for sure was okay, or they have to get someplace. In many parts of the world, that's how they get around. And they go by bicycle. When I lived in Eretz Yisrael when I was a kid, that's mostly how people got around in Eretz Yisrael. Well, it's not so long ago. That's how they got around. So that's okay. If they're going to go like on a bike thing to go on a tiul, then we have the machlekes probably between Rav Moshe and the post. Rav Moshe holds it's only a din. That's why I said a bicycle built for two. That's a din in the safsal hamisnadne of the bench that's moving or them being on one thing together. But going together, Rav Moshe holds it. There's never exactly made that they can't go for. They can't go on a bicycle together. Same way there's never exactly they can't walk together somewhere. But not on the same bicycle. No, two different bicycles. It shouldn't be a problem at all. It shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
Your bedroom tends to be a bit of a revolving door. Can you lock it while she's in there?
Yeah, there's no issue of yichud. There's no issue of yichud when it comes to one's wife. You could lock the door during the time that she's in need. It's a good way to end. There's a famous Torah from the Bnei Yisrael. It says in Eicha, Hashem, the Navi says, Al kein l'nida hayasa. It's a terrible thing that the Navi calls the Jewish people a nida. Al kein l'nida hayasa. A nida, like we're impure. A nida. That was Hashem's wife, but Al kein l'nida hayasa. So the Bnei Yisrael says, so you know how the Chassidim turn everything nice, right? So the Bnei Yisrael says, what do you mean? It's such a gewaldige thing. Al kein l'nida hayasa. Because he says that even though there are certain hachokis, like we're learning between a husband and wife during the time of nida, but he said, but a husband and wife, yichud is always permitted. They're always together. They can be together, you can lock their room. So he says, that's why it says in Pasuk, Al kein l'nida hayasa. Hashem says that the Jewish people are like a nida. We have a certain distance between us. Something is going wrong, but we're still in this. We're still married, and therefore yichud is permitted. Yichud is permitted. And the Bnei Yisrael, he says that all the yichudim, all the unity, all the unifications that take place between Hashem and the Jewish people, even in Golas, are still able to take place, even though we're feeling a distance from Him. But the yichud between Hashem and husband and wife is always permitted. Always permitted. Ba'imi b'chadarach, it says in Navi, come my nation into my room. And Chavi, I will lock the door and you'll come with me into my room. It says Hashem the Jewish people, that all the goyim are outside and Hashem brings us in and locks the door. So between a husband and a wife, there's no issue ever. If it's a chuppas nida when they're first married, and if it's a chuppas nida, of course then there's already an issue of yichud. When they run the chuppah, they haven't been together yet. A chuppas nida, there's an issue of yichud that they can't be in that's something else. Or if they're together in the room, then you have to have somebody show them in the house, but they certainly can't lock the door. There's an issue of yichud if it's a chuppas nida. But otherwise, a husband and wife are always permitted to be in a room with a locked door. That's not even a shayla.
Giving her the challah Friday night. Is that also a little bit of a shmir to the side? Or
yeah.
Instead of right in front, just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Or if someone passes it, or you put a little bit. It's,
I'm going to cut two and say.
Svadim, throw the challah. It's true.
No, we don't.
you're already left old. You left the old ways. They don't throw the challah. The kids used to tell me all the time that they used to pay the. No, really?
Not the time.
Because that's a, because people tell me that
they okay, man. Nothing by that.
Zaki was hello.
Lo hazak.
Lo hazak. Lo
hazak.
No, on Pesach I know they beat each other up. The Pesach they beat each other up.
The scallions.
The scallions. And I thought I was told the kids told me that that the chals they throw at each other, not to hurt it, not, but they throw. No, okay. You're more civilized now. Okay, thanks.